The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Come back. Second half of the show is live. We had Clark Lee on. We've had Mike Greenberg on. We move on and get the better guests next with Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. The headline about Tennessee. Will we finally learn something about Jeremy Pruitt and his status and what happens next with the NCAA? That's one of the questions we'll have for Ross. And then a multi-million dollar lawsuit on the horizon and what it all means to the future of the NCAA. Ross Dellinger joining us on this Tuesday. Ross, thank you for the time. Let's get to the Pruitt NCAA story. This is a case that's been going on now for 2.5 years. We really are waiting for some disposition. What do you know based on your reporting? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Yeah, this is a kind of the next step in this case. It is a hearing. Usually the NCAA in schools like to avoid a hearing, and they settle, in some case, called a negotiated resolution. That's oftentimes what you see. But about 25%, 30% of cases do go to a hearing. Usually it's because the schools, or in this case, the schools and the two coaches, Jeremy Pruitt and Derek Ansley, did not come to a resolution with the NCAA, which often means they disagree with the NCAA's potential penalties and sanctions. And so that's what we have here. I think it's gotten, from what I understand, a little contentious with all parties, all three, the school and the two coaches, against the NCAA. It's been interesting. And so I'm sure it'll be quite an interesting hearing in a couple of weeks in Cincinnati.
So, Ross, I heard you say something really important there. You can work these things out. Is best to the best of your knowledge on the reporting that you've done, everyone unhappy, contentious. What does this mean specifically, if you know? Does this mean that Tennessee has found out what it could be facing, or more likely the two coaches, namely Pruitt?
Well, I think all three parties, the two coaches in the university, probably through the course of negotiations with the NCAA conversation the last several months, it's probably been 6 to 8 months of it, they got the notice of allegations in the summer, late summer. So they've been talking for a while. So I'm sure all three parties know what they potentially face as far as penalties, and clearly they disagree in the NCAA's potential penalties. And so that's why we're going to a hearing. You know, it's a little surprising, Paul, that this case, for Tennessee at least, for the university side, is going to a hearing because, when the NCAA's notice of allegations came out, the enforcement staff stressed and emphasized in the notice of how, quote, I think, exemplary the university handled this matter. You'll remember, Paul, back in, the December, January 2021, right around, I guess, 2 years ago now, that they immediately, when they found out about the violations committed, by Jeremy Pruitt and staff, they fired the staff and Pruitt, did their own investigation, right, changed the administration as well, right, a whole change of the administration and docked themselves, I think, 12 scholarships and recruiting sanctions on themselves. And there was a thought that they did enough. And you would have thought that maybe they did, and especially the way they cooperated with the NCAA. And so I think many believe that this was going to be some kind of resolution, that they weren't going to have to go to a hearing. So the fact that they're going to a hearing would lead you to believe, obviously, the NCAA has suggested more penalties for the university, and they sounds like disagree with those.
Ross, it may not matter, or maybe it does. I don't know, because you're doing the great reporting on this. But the fact that Pruitt is at odds with the university. Does that affect this at all? And I know I'm asking you to speculate, but once this hearing happens, what is the next step?
Yeah, I don't know how much, you know, Pruitt and the university's relationship matters right now to this situation. I'll say, you know, he obviously is fighting the NCAA too, and so is his defensive coordinator at the time, Derek Ansley, fighting charges. I think for the individuals, the NCAA, they're probably, and again, I am just speculating on this, but I'm just kind of assuming they're fighting, the two coaches are fighting over a show cause penalty. That's usually the case. The NCAA probably is throwing out, suggesting some multi-year show causes, and I'm assuming the two coaches are fighting those. The answer to your second question, what happens now, is one I had myself for my good coworker Pat Forty, who helped me out with this story because he's dealt with these NCAA investigations quite a bit. And he said that usually there's a ruling after the hearing within, you know, 4, 6, 8 weeks. Sometimes it can go longer. And so there'll be a ruling, and once the ruling is handed down, that'll be that.
Ross, let me ask you about the other story that you've been writing about, and that's where we all go next with this big question about the NCAA. Lawsuits are out there. They look serious. This is your bailiwick, so to speak. What are you learning, and what does it all mean?
Yeah, today at noon, the same attorneys, Paul, who represented Alston in the Supreme Court victory over the NCAA, those same attorneys filed another lawsuit based on the Alston ruling. So it's just another antitrust class action lawsuit attempting to get compensation for athletes. This lawsuit seeks back pay from Alston, you know, and I know your listeners are probably thinking, what in the heck am I talking about? So the Alston 9-0 ruling in the Supreme Court allowed universities to pay an educational related benefit, basically $6,000, up to about $6,000, it's actually like $5,900 a year to athletes. Most Power 5 schools are doing that. And so that 2 years ago, in the Supreme Court ruling, that began. In schools every day, every month, are starting to do that more and more. More schools are starting to do it. Well, this lawsuit attempts to get back pay from 2 years before the Supreme Court ruling, which could amount to, you know, a couple hundred million dollars, up to probably $1 billion with a B. And it's just the latest kind of legal challenge for the NCAA, Paul. You know, they're fighting quite a bit right now, multiple antitrust lawsuits, including the House case, which is actually similar to this one filed today. The House case looks for retroactive NIL, to seeking retroactive NIL back, basically back pay for name, image, and likeness for athletes. And this one is looking for back pay for Alston. Together, these suits could cost the NCAA, if they lose, billions with a B. And, you know, administrators, many of them would tell you that if they do lose these cases, one or certainly both, it could bankrupt the association.
Finally, Ross, the hearing was last week. We've spoken to some of the people there, and obviously you've covered this from the beginning. What is next on the horizon in relation to NIL and Congress?
Man, I'd love to know the answer to that. I have no idea. Based on that hearing, I think we're going to get, you know, a bill out of the House at some point, although I don't expect that in weeks. It'll more be like months, because they just started writing the legislation. And then on the Senate side, we're going to have a bill reintroduced, I think, eventually by Richard Blumenthal and Cory Booker, and it'll be a kind of course, a Democratic leaning bill on college athlete rights, a very broad bill. And we'll also have in the same chamber Tommy Tuberville and Joe Manchin, probably in the coming months or weeks, release their own bill, probably more conservative leaning bill. And what's going to have to happen, Paul, is there's going to have to be compromise. And there hasn't now for 3 years on this issue, like many issues on Capitol Hill, not much compromise these days. And you're going to have it. You're going to have Democrats and Republicans compromise on some kind of college athlete bill. And we're about to get into what could be only described as a fairly divisive and contentious presidential election. And during election season, very little passes through Congress, Paul. And so the quicker the better. If they're going to do something, you would think it would happen. It would need to happen in the next, I don't know, at least probably 6, at most 8 months to get something done.
Not counting on it. Ross Dellinger, some great reporting and commentary joining us on the Tuesday show. Thank you very much. We head to the break. We've had a busy one so far. Plenty of time for you to get in. We also have the finale of the caller bracket in the final hour. And could a major, stunning, shocking upset be in the making? We'll update you in a few minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Hugh is up next in Deep Gap, North Carolina. Good afternoon, Hugh.
Good afternoon, Paul. I don't know why you're so surprised. Every time I hear that gravelly voice of Cat Daddy, I get an image of Red Fox doing Fred Sanford and laying out all of that pragmatical genius backdoor logic. I think, man, I tell you what, I don't think Cat Daddy has an opponent. He outclasses the field by a mile. But that's not really why I'm calling you. Last Friday night, I didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah, I wasn't paying any attention. I've lost interest in the men's tournament. And I happened to turn on the women's tournament. Paul, that's the best basketball game between Iowa and South Carolina that I've seen in 20 years.
That's interesting.
And both of the coaches absolutely manifest the high standard of integrity and character, and the players on the floor exhibited the same. Hard competition, cleanly played. That was a fabulous ball game. And the truth is, and let's just get right to the meat of this, players will reflect what their coaches are. And it's hard to come up with a higher standard than Dawn Staley or Gino Auriemma or Pat Head Summit or the lady that was coaching Iowa. But aside from that, Caitlin Clark, to me, is a female version of Pete Maravich without all of the issues. And when you really think about it, I'd never seen anybody that could command that kind of presence, passing, dribbling, shooting from everywhere out of every type of configuration. She is a miracle. What a great player. And Paul, just as Coach Brown said about Shaquille O'Neal when he left college basketball to the pro ranks, he said Shaquille will never have a chance to reach his potential given the defenses that are permitted in college basketball. He needs to go to the pro level. I think the same's true of Caitlin Clark. She's got professional player written all over her. And the truth of the matter is, the only complaint I have about the Iowa-South Carolina game is it was not the final game for the championship, because the game that followed it, there wasn't much left in Iowa's tank, and I don't think there would have been much left in South Carolina's. What a great basketball game.
Fantastic. Appreciate the call, and I agree with a lot of that. AC is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, Dad Daddy might pull off something. It's the biggest upset. It seems like Alabama dynasty is coming to an end. It's not JK's advertising. I'm telling you, if legend goes down, that's the way it seems like. Alabama went down last season and 2 years ago. I'm calling it right now, end of dynasty. No more. There's going to be a new dog. New cast in town. It's not going to be Crimson Tide. And your Twitter poll question, I have an answer for this. It's whoever defeated Alabama and Clemson. Matter of fact, who is Clemson anyway? Before, holla.
Dwayne is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Dwayne.
Man, you got that fool from Deep Gap Hughes. He called LSU coaches nothing. He called all the rest of the coaches, but LSU coaches.
Yeah, you're right. You know he did not even mention Coach Mulkey.
Yeah. Hey, that fool, he a fool. Then you had this other fool, too, from Canada, AAC, whatever it is. He's another fool. But, hey, but give a shout-out to Legend for giving me a shot. Hey, Legend, I know it's on now, Legend. It's on now. Hey, L.A., Mr. Paul Feinbaum, I want to tell you something, all right? Hey, why they ain't investigating Alabama? Jim Pruitt was over there. He left Alabama to go to Tennessee. Hey, what he did at Tennessee, he was doing it at Alabama. Hey, they need to investigate that.
Dwayne, there's absolutely no evidence to support what you just said. You literally just made something up here.
If he did it in Tennessee, he did it in Alabama.
First of all, he did it. Whatever he did in Tennessee was because he was trying to save his job. He didn't have to worry about that with Nick Saban as his boss.
Yeah, right. They're doing that corrupt stuff over there. Nick Saban doing corrupt stuff too. Now, tell Legend that. There are number corrupt. You know, Alabama been corrupt. You know, he left us and went to the NFL, Nick Saban. He should have stayed at LSU. You know he had a dynasty there, but he won't try to try the NFL with the Miami Dolphins.
The guy has won 6 national championships at Alabama. He didn't need to stay at LSU.
Where he was at first?
I'll tell you where he was first. He was at Michigan State first.
Yeah, he was at Michigan State. Where he came after? He ain't win no championship in Michigan.
Now, I will agree. He gave Les Miles a national championship.
Man, ain't worried about no Les Miles. Les Miles, he just stayed to one program. That's how that man. Did we beat him? Look, when we beat him in that 9-7 game, we went to Alabama. We beat him. Yeah. Then we had to play him in the championship. He had to cry. Nick Saban cried to get us in the championship game. You know what I'm saying?
For the record, it was 9-6. Nobody scored a touchdown that game.
9-6. Yeah, we beat him in Alabama. And 9-6. Then after that, then he cried to get back in the championship game.
No, Dwayne. He did not cry.
That man did cry.
I cried that night. I don't know about Saban.
You know Saban cried.
I walked out of that stadium with a puddle of tears. It was such a disappointing night. Alabama dropped to, I think, third or fourth, and the number two and three teams both lost. So Alabama got right back in it and only beat you guys, I think, 21-0 in Louisiana.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, Nick, let my stay with the same program. Nick Saban changed up. Nick Saban changed. You know what I'm saying?
Dwayne, let's be honest. You think Jordan Jefferson was ever going to win a national championship against a good defense?
No, indeed. But we beat y'all. We beat y'all in Alabama. We beat them in Alabama with 9-6.
On field goals.
Oh, yeah. That field goal kicking your ass with garbage. Yeah, but get back to Jim Pruitt. They need to investigate Alabama with Jim Pruitt. He came from Alabama before he went to Tennessee. I think he had corruption then. I tell you what, Dwayne,
when you find me that corruption, give us a call, okay? Until then, quit making
allegations. Yeah, I will go give you a call when I find it.
You're not going to find it. You don't know what you're talking about. Jeff is up next in Ohio.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Jeff.
Man, I love it when you have an LSU fan accusing other programs of being corrupt. I mean, Jiminy Christmas.
That's funny.
Did he forget the last name, Wade? Wasn't there some guy named Wade that was a little corrupt at LSU?
I don't remember him.
I mean, do you remember that, Paul?
I do not.
You don't?
No.
Hey, Paul, have you noticed,
now. He's done well since then.
Right. Have you noticed in the last week or two how many callers on a regular basis are calling in and critiquing and ripping on these analysts you're having on the program? Have you noticed that?
I haven't noticed that, no. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you have, but you don't run them out like you run me out because you know it's true. But you just know I'm the guy that you can play with your base and you know and run me down, but that's okay. Hey, Paul, why I called?
Hey, Jeff, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm not a congressman. I'm not running for election re-election every 2 years. I mean, this job is we don't have to pander like some of you folks up north.
But you like to when you hang up on me and hit the button, and then you like to tell how much I'm hated to your base. I know it.
Do you know the reason why I say that?
Because you're playing to your base.
No,
you know you'll get
because Jeff, the audience genuinely hates you.
That's cool. I love it. To be honest with you, that means I'm doing my job. That means I'm doing my job.
I mean, they don't hate you a little bit. They hate you a lot. They hate you like poison.
Hey, that's even better yet. I'm glad you like it. Hey, Paul, do you think that we'll ever get to the point where we'll have a czar of college football and all these conferences and teams will be on the same page?
I do not think that is possible right now.
I don't either. I mean, hell, the SEC can't even agree on in conference how many games they want to play.
Yeah, but they will. Just say we're 7 weeks away from that happening. But Jeff, the difference between the SEC and the Big Ten is the SEC has a commissioner that has been in this job since 2015, who's committed to furthering the SEC's cause. You guys have a commissioner that left after 2 weeks to become the president of the Chicago Bears.
Why are you bringing that up? I'm not even trying to compare.
I'm just making a point since you're blasting the SEC. I was just trying to. I mean, the only two conferences that could settle the issue that you're talking about are the SEC and the Big Ten. If the commissioners of those two conferences got together and said this is the way we want to do it, it would be done.
I agree, but Paul, how are you going to get over the fundamental? This is one thing all these so-called experts don't even bring up. The way colleges obtain talent is through recruiting, right?
Right.
Okay, in recruiting, it's about competition. The NFL, the NBA, NHL, they have a draft that's organized by the league. How are you going to get beyond? How are you going to get beyond competition and nobody trusting each other if you don't get rid of recruiting? I mean, it starts right there. That's where nobody trusts each other. Hell, you just had that loudmouth from Louisiana talking about corruption and recruiting. I mean, that's the base of all the problems, isn't it?
It is. Jeff, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We come back. We'll give you an update on the caller bracket. Cat Daddy about to be crowned the champion. You heard me correctly.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here. Jim is up next.
Congrats to Cat Daddy. Cat Daddy, I can tell you right now, you got your finger on the pulse. You had the hardest schedule of anybody in the history of the show, and you ran through everybody, including me, like cream cheese. You got your finger on the pulse. Congratulations, Cat Daddy, all-time champion. Got to be the Hall of Fame. And I got something else for you, fine, Bob. You asked me the other day, you told Jeff, my boy Jeff, you said everybody hates him. That's not true. You hate him. You hate him just like you hate me. But I'm going to tell you now what Rader said. Mike Rader told me the night you went to ESPN, he said, I'm not surprised, Jim. Everybody hates Feinbaum that lives in Alabama that I know. That's what he told me. That's what Mike Rader told me 8 years ago. You asked me the other day, I didn't tell you. I'm telling you now.
Well, Jim, first of all, I can't. Comment on what friends of mine say about me in private.
I don't care whether you comment or not. I'm telling you a fact.
Well,
it's a pure fact.
Okay, well, Jim, so I guess I don't mean to be flippant here, but so what? Like, what difference does it make what he said about me?
Well, so what that you lie about who you say hate to? I'm not lying about that. He told
okay,
me
so
that.
Okay, so Jim, let's talk about this intelligently for a second. So I left almost 10 years ago. I left almost 10 years ago.
2013.
I agree. I remember. And a guy that I used to work with told you privately.
I called him after you and I talked that night.
By the way, Jim, just for the record, he has since told me that he did not tell you that. He's communicated that to me. But it doesn't matter.
What do you say? Now he's lying. But well, I'm telling you, it's not as my witness. I'm telling
Jim,
you, that's
the,
what he
last,
yeah, I don't care what you say, Fiverr.
No,
you're
I'm just telling you.
The would you the you're the biggest liar in the world. You're worse liar than the people attacking Trump. You really are.
Okay, now.
I'm telling you, Mike Rader told me that.
The last time, Jim, the last time you said this, Mike hit me up and he said, by the way, I just want you to know that's not true. That's a complete falsehood. So I'm just relating to you what your source told me.
No source. It was Mike Rader. I talked to him probably.
Okay. Okay. I am going
you
to ignore.
You don't want the other side to talk. Just like Jeff said.
Mike, by the way, Jim, he can take out an ad anywhere he wants. He can come on here and repeat it. It doesn't really matter to me what somebody said about me 10 years ago.
You know what, Paul? I'll tell you. You said the truth was foreign to you or to Geneva today. No, the truth is foreign to you, Feinbaum. Totally foreign to you. Congratulations, Cat Daddy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Squirrel is up next.
You two find more than.
Hey, by the way, do you think anybody has ever been misquoted that spoke to Jim?
Oh, my goodness, never. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, I wish I could match you and Jim's passion for this show. You know, that's where I'm lacking. I've got to develop more passion.
You do.
You know, and I'm going to work on that for 2023. But it was great for Jeff not to mention Tim Brando or Danny Sheridan.
That was an absolute miss on his part.
I just can't wait for that shoe to drop. But, you know, to illustrate how quickly to the listeners out there how things could change on this show, you literally stopped the program a little over a year ago to thank Jeff for personally saving your sanity during COVID. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And look at y'all now. Y'all are like cats and dogs squabbling with each other. But you know, it can change back around. You and him could be BFFs, you know, next month. But AC's calls always suck, except for the end when he says holla. I kind of like that for some reason. I hope he stays with it. Is he one of your favorite callers now?
No.
Our Canadian friend? And I see Kathy got my gift basket that I sent her last week. I really appreciate the words that she said. But, you know, legend needed humbling. If there's one guy that needed humbling in that bracket, the right guy got humbled, I think, today. And he's going to come in and he's going to be contrite. He's going to he's going to be a good loser, I believe. I mean, he's not going to be
a poor loser. Well, I just looked at it. He is under 10%, but time is running out. He only has 20 more minutes.
Oh, it's over.
He needs to buy some votes right now to win this thing.
Well, I voted 3 times for Cat Daddy. I'm not going to tell you how I did it, but I was able to vote 3 times for him. That's the truth. But, you know, if Legend had taken the time to play, and I'm not dogging Legend. Like I said, he's my buddy now. But if he'd have taken the time to play T-ball when he was a kid, he would have learned that you don't count your victories before they happen. So again, like I said, the young man got a lesson today, and he needed it. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
AJ is up next.
Let's get ready to rumble. In this corner, Paul, we have it standing at 6'9", 317 pounds out of South Carolina. Got claws bigger than a rhino's tusk, with Iron Man blood dripping off of him. It's the Cat Daddy! Whee! And in this corner over here, coming out of Nick Saban's hip pocket, standing about 3 Big Macs high, weighing in at about 2 quarter-pounders with cheese. He's got a tongue like a cheetah. The man, the myth, the has-been, Jerry Wayne! We're down to the last round, folks. Get your votes in.
And we're coming right back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we've got a big game on Friday night, Florida and Tennessee, two top-ranked teams. Tater's in Georgia, and you are on the air. Hello, Tater.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon to you. Hey, man, I just basically wanted to call you and tell you thank you so much for your show. I really enjoy it. I got a Bama Gump buddy of mine that we sit here and watch it every day. We kind of want to see who gets worse off, Larry or Legend, who's drank more that day. And Jim, he needs to be on medication. But,
Tater, I'm so pleased to hear that you watch, and I agree with you on Jim, and I'll kick in some of my Medicare to help pay for the bill.
Please, yes, yeah. Now I just basically just wanted to call you, man, tell you how much we really enjoy your show. You know, so
thank you very, very much. You be well. You guys have a great day. We still have about 6 minutes, about 10 minutes left in the polling. It could change, probably won't. But Cat Daddy remains a little bit under a 10% lead in what many political pundits are calling the upset of the century. We'll talk to the winner of the poll, Cat Daddy, likely winner in a few minutes. Right now, we'll see if Legend has anything to say. Legend is up next.
Legend coming to the podium. Many fans are in the crowd cheering him. Chill, chill! Thank you.
By the way, Legend, it's not over yet. So, I mean, you could turn this thing around in the final 8 or 9 minutes. Probably won't.
Well, I had Nate Oates come in and give the halftime speech. It was downhill from there, Bob.
That's funny.
But Jim Ross has the quick call of it. Legend's in the ring with his championship. He just throwed Jim out of the ring on his head. And there goes Jim like a scalded dog running back to the locker room. There goes I-Man over the ring. Legend's in the ring with his championship. Have you ever seen anything like this, ladies and gentlemen? Wait a minute. Cat Daddy with a bottle of Palmetto Moonshine to the back of the head of the champion. There he goes. Here comes Jim back in off the top rope with a case of the pins over his head. Cat Daddy covers him. 1, 2, 3. Cat Daddy, the new Fine Bob heavyweight champion of the world, with a case of moonshine, Palmetto Moonshine, to the back of the head of the champion. Have you ever seen anything like it? It's over, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations, Cat Daddy. Great champion, dude. You're a great caller. In all seriousness, man, to all the callers, man, all the callers are great. I appreciate all the callers, all the listeners. I've enjoyed being a champ for a year, but now it's Cat Daddy's reign. Congratulations, brother. I'll say this right here, Paul. I was in the final last year, right?
You were.
And I was the runner-up this year, right?
You were. Boy, that sounds familiar.
Hey, Paul, definitely a rebuilding year.
Well said.
Definitely a rebuilding year, brother. Definitely a rebuilding year. And let me tell you something, Jim. Won't you leave Feinbaum the hell alone, dude? Paul Feinbaum don't owe you anything, you old wretched geezer. He don't owe you anything, you one-eyed bastard. He don't owe you a damn thing. He don't pick up his phone and call your ass. No. You pick up your phone and call him. I promise you, if you was waiting on a call from Black Cat Feinbaum, you'd be waiting to hell froze over, brother. So won't you put that damn phone down and shut your damn mouth before I come to Tuscaloosa and put a foot so far up your ass that your breath will smell like shoe polish, brother?
Yeah.
Open that damn door. Legend is out the building. Congratulations, Cat Daddy.
And we will talk to the new champion because there's not much that can be done now. Legend has officially conceded in a stunning upset. Well, it is all over but the crowning. Let us grab Dale in Colorado. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
That was the best concession speech I've ever heard in my life. I have to give Legend props. That was epic.
It really was fantastic.
It really was. Paul, so I just got a question about, I know recruiting is important in college football, but So is developing players. And so, I mean, my question is, why do you think some programs are better at developing players that they recruit? I mean, you know, I'm a Georgia fan, so just for instance, I know Georgia, you know, can recruit 3 stars and turn them into first-round draft picks. What is the difference, you think? I mean, what makes
you
a better
program?
Well,
ultimately, Dale, your system is the most important because you can get the best player in the world, and if he doesn't fit in, then you're going to have a bust. And
right. I mean, do you think?
Yeah,
it's, you know,
I think what separates the best from the next are our coaches like Kirby Smart and Nick Saban, who not only get the best players, but make them better as well as the other. I mean, there aren't too many 3 stars hanging around either program, but the ones that have been through there are usually developed. Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. The new champion will join us in the next hour. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.